Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. We're here to talk some Braves baseball and give you some gambling picks for the weekend, some parlays. Things going okay. Last series before the All-Star break coming up against the Padres in San Diego, I believe. Are they on a West Coast trip right now? Because they were in Arizona.
Yeah, it's in San Diego.
Yeah. Not a bad series against the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. I would have liked that they won the game Freed pitch, since he pitched well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll take two out of three in literally any series. And kind of had some comebacks in both of them. There was a great game. Was that the first game of the series, the Friday night game or whatever?
Well, we split that series. That was a four-game series.
Oh, that's right. It was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, we probably should have won game three, I think. We probably should have won. Morton didn't have a great start, but Jimenez just kind of came in and didn't do dick. Although, yeah, that's, to be frank, that's a rarity for him. In relief, he's been really good. So what are you going to do? They scored more runs in the series than they have been usually. Let's see, 6-5, 6-5, and then obviously they got shut out last night. But for the most part of that,
and then
they did pretty well.
Timely hitting in the first two games especially. I mean, they – you could say we maybe deserve to lose the extra inning game when it went to 11, where we took the lead, they fucking got it back, or they tied, and then, yeah, so on and so forth. But it was I like the way they looked more or less during the Diamondbacks series. Got one more before the All-Star break, and yeah, then we'll see what fucking happens. And it's time to really pay attention to Alex Anthopoulos more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
When is the trade deadline this
year? I don't know. It's usually like the last fucking Tuesday of August or something, I think, or the last Thursday of August.
July 30th is the trade deadline.
July.
Yeah, not July 30th. So 3 weeks away, a little less than 3 weeks away. So it's about time to get going. We'll talk about trades a little bit. But I wanted to start out with something that I was texting you about the other day that, like, I kind of hadn't realized. I know Chris Sale. I knew the whole time that Chris Sale had been having a great year. In fact, a dream, like, exactly what you would have wanted. Mm-hmm. This has turned into, so far, another sort of, like, Alex Anthopoulos, like, masterful signing. He doesn't bat 1,000. There's certainly things where I'm like, dude, you know, what the fuck were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even on letting Freddie Freeman walk, even though I do like Matt Olson a lot. But the Chris Sale signing has been incredible. What I didn't realize is that, until I looked at the numbers, probably the National League Cy Young front runner at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who would be in front of him right now.
So looking at the numbers, I do think that Wheeler is a close second.
What about the man that's currently starting for the NL in the All-Star game?
Who?
Skeens.
Cy Young, no. No, he's not really in that competition.
He's going to be... So, a lot. The one thing that hamstrings Cy Young candidates now, probably more than anything, is innings pitched, right? Like, you're not going to get dinged for wins. Wins will help you,
yeah,
but they won't ding you. You will... Your ERA can be a little high if you're striking out a million people or whatever, but yeah, they will straight up if you only played 3/4 of the year, they will hold that against you.
He's only going to get probably 20 to 22 starts, and that's just not enough to win the award. Now, frankly, he might lead the league in wins above replacement for pitchers. Even with that small amount, so who knows. But,
which, by the way, what the fuck are you doing taking him out in the seventh inning of a no-hitter?
I don't know. 99 pitches. Here's what the manager said. He was like, he could have gone back out for another inning, but he wasn't going to go back out for two more. So what's the fucking point?
Right.
Right. Why even burn 13 to 15 more pitches when...
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point? I agree with that, actually.
Okay.
Teams have made that mistake in the past. Johan Santana ended his career.
Yeah.
Like, literally. He threw, 126 pitches for a no-hitter, and it ended his career. So
it's certainly not worth it. I would have been more on your side if I was a Pirates fan, certainly. But at the same time, I'm like, dude,
he's As a young. Baseball fan, he's fucking 22 years old. Let him throw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And also, someone was saying on Twitter, they're like, dude, Skeens was throwing like 200 pitches a game for LSU, and you can't let him try to finish off a no-hitter.
I don't know about 200 pitches a game, but
they were speaking kind of hype.
Just last season, I think he had 13 games over 100 pitches, which for college is insane.
Yeah.
College is like 80 to 90 pitches usually.
Because especially if you're a guy like Skeens and you're throwing that
and you're
kind
6'6",
of shit.
240,
Yeah.
Throwing that he's Nolan Ryan size.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not like a fucking little dude.
And he keeps ERA under 2. You don't think he wins the Cy Young?
No, not with 20 starts.
Because the thing with that is that like, okay, your ERA was low, but what happens if you add 8 more starts that everyone else had to do?
He's 6-0.
To qualify for the ERA title, he has to pitch one inning per game that the team plays, and I think he's going to end the season with something like 120 innings, maybe.
So you need 162 innings,
at a minimum, That's okay. In any year,
yeah. So he won't even qualify for that.
And it's in for all the batting stuff. To qualify for the batting stuff, it's 3.1 at bats per or 3.1. plate appearances per game played, right?
Okay.
So you have to have 162 times 3.1, whatever that
is. Well, actually, the way they do the batting title, I don't know how they would do this for the ERA title, but the way they do the batting title, because I don't know if you remember back in the day, to bring this back around to the Braves, Omar Infante was challenging for the batting title, but he wasn't going to have enough at-bats to qualify. So what they do is they kind of do rough math, and they essentially take a point off your batting average for every game below the qualifying.
They can
level.
Do that if you're close, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it used to be the case that they would, like, Larry Walker and Andres Galarraga on the Rockies in consecutive years, I think both got moved into the number one slot, like the leadoff slot.
Yeah.
Which was before it was popular to do that with your best hitter to get the at-bats required. So, yeah, he's just the short version is he's not going to have the innings pitch to qualify for anything.
Which, you know, he'll probably just win it next year. But
Or he'll get TJ, right? Because that if you're throwing that hard, your fucking arm's fucked up.
Yeah,
to be honest, Nolan Ryan's the only one. He popped his forearm when he was 21, I think, with the Mets. And this is before anybody gave a fuck who Nolan Ryan was. He just showed up to spring training without having worked out all offseason.
Yeah,
and popped his forearm ligament. Didn't really have any major issues until his elbow when he was 44. Right, which or 46, excuse me.
Which is good.
And that was a walk off for him. He still threw a couple more pitches in the 90s.
Yeah.
But so the guys these days, maybe he's one of those dudes. Hopefully, I hope he stays healthy his whole career and never has to get surgery because he would put together some fucking numbers.
I want to see this guy throw for sure. But Chris Sale, I looked at the stats and we were texting about this to see just how dominant he's been this year. He's 12-3, most wins in Major League Baseball. On pace for definitely over 20 wins if he keeps going the way he is. 2.74 ERA, which is fourth in the National League. ERA is probably his weakest stat, but under 3, that's amazing. 11.66 K per 9, which is third in Major League Baseball. Expected ERA of 2.63, so he's actually pitching better than his ERA even says, and that is third in Major League Baseball. 2.22 fielding independent pitching. First in Major League Baseball, 2.46 expected fielding independent pitching, first in Major League Baseball. So just based on his stuff, not necessarily the outcome and everything, just based on what he's throwing, how he's throwing it, so on and so forth, he has been the best pitcher in baseball. He's second in Major League Baseball in wins above replacement for pitchers. Ironically, the number one is Crochet for the White Sox, who is just pitching out of his mind for the worst team in the history of baseball, which you got to think he might be on the move at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and Sale is getting into the seventh inning or later in a lot of his starts, which is he's averaging over six innings per start, which is more than pretty much anybody in the league right now.
Yeah.
Which is why you also see these peripheral numbers and the rate numbers get backed up by the actual counting stats as well. High strikeout total, not just the rate. And he also has 12 wins. He's leading the league with 12 wins right now. So unless something insane happens, he's probably going to be a 20-game winner. I mean, I think he's got to be the shortest odds for NL Cy Young right now.
Let me check that on my bookie. But so I actually got something wrong, though. I didn't realize this. I thought he had won a Cy Young before, but he has not.
No.
He's been an all-star a bunch of times, and he's won the World Series, obviously. But he has not won a Cy Young, which I could have sworn he had. So for the National League, Chris Sale is the favorite at plus 140.
Yeah.
Zach Wheeler, also plus 140. After that, it falls off a cliff. So I looked at the stats, too, by the way. I thought Wheeler's really the only one who has a shot against Sale. I think it's fairly the betting odds say it's neck and neck. I think Sale has the upper hand.
Well, I mean, so Nola is up there as well, I think, because
he is the 110-1 to win.
Here's why I think that, because one, he's on a really good team. 14 out of his 19 starts are quality starts. He's getting quality. And this is a bounce back year for him. Mm-hmm. And the voters love a good story, right? Like, I think if he and Wheeler were at the end with commensurate stats, I think Nola would probably get the nod over Wheeler, frankly.
Yeah.
Unless he's getting blown out. Sale would have to take a dive for either of those guys to beat him, I think.
Yes.
Because he's just going to keep winning. But he's pitching against the two or three man in most rotations right now. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe that changes towards the end of the season. We'll see. Don't know yet, but I just don't see anybody catching up with him. The other problem is that there's three Phillies that are kind of like knocking each other out of a spot, right?
Ranger Suarez
is doing really well.
13-1.
Yeah, Ranger Suarez is having an incredible year.
Also, are you sure about Skeens? Because he's 7-1 on the site.
He's not even going to qualify.
But that's a waste of money. That's what I'm saying. He's not going to win the site.
Unless he starts throwing shutouts every game.
Yeah.
Not even shutouts. He could pitch as long as he's got to pitch nine innings. Like there's hold on a second.
Because he's not going to qualify for anything, like in terms of being a qualified starter for records and stuff like that, he's going to have to pitch. And maybe he will, but he's going to have to basically have like the best season.
Yeah. Also, Christopher Sanchez has better odds currently, right?
I mean, he's at most going to get 12 starts for the rest of this year. So there's it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that is Vegas trying to steal money from suckers.
Which, fair enough.
I agree. I actually, Suarez and Ronaldo Lopez, if you want who I think has the most interesting odds to win, who has a realistic shot, would be Tyler Glasnow, who is...
Yeah, he's hurt right now, though, so we'll see.
Yeah.
He's going to be out for 2 or 3 weeks. Although one of those weeks is the All-Star week, so maybe he only misses two starts.
Because he's striking out like 12 per nine right now.
He looks great, yeah.
He's going to stack wins. His ERA is over 3, so he would need a Aaron Nola-esque second half circa 2016 to win it. But, I mean, it's not the worst bet if you wanted to sprinkle it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think Sale is very... Another thing we were talking about, by the way, so this would only be his first Cy Young. I thought it was going to be his second. If he wins it, but Chris Sale, like, sneakily a borderline Hall of Fame pitcher, potentially.
So I think the average wins above replacement for Hall of Fame pitchers is 66, and he's at 55 right now,
51.
Right? 51. Okay, yeah, he's got like 4 or 5 more years left, so
he's 35.
Yeah,
but so here's where.
He's 35 in an age where Justin Verlander is pitching into his 40s, right?
Right.
So we'll see.
I mean, he's been more injured. And what's crazy, though, about his 51 wins above replacement, right? Like, he has that despite essentially missing parts of 5 full seasons in his prime.
Yeah.
He did not even... 2020, everyone lost, right? But he didn't even play in it. He was just kind of like, fuck it, I think. 2021, he only pitched 42 innings. 22, he only pitched 5 innings. 23, he only pitched 100 innings. And then, I mean, he hasn't been at 200 innings since 2017. So from 2018 to 2023, he pitched less than 180 innings even. 158 is his most. Hopefully he tops out this year. But despite that, 51 wins above replacement. One thing I want to see, the one thing that would probably guarantee him a spot is that he only needs 600 and change strikeouts to get to 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, would probably do it.
Yeah, I mean, he would at least, maybe not on his first look, but he would have a shot.
Well, there's only 19 members of the 3,000 club, right? Like, how do you, if you're one of 20 people in the history of Major League Baseball to do something that monumentous, like, I don't know how you get kept out. Now, there will be a couple more, because Kershaw has 60 to go. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's someone else that's getting close who is still playing. But yeah, Kershaw will join it. So there'll be 20 guys. Sale could be the 21st, I guess. But I think he's got an outside shot at the Hall of Fame. If he gets to 3,000 strikeouts, which to do that, all he needs to do is just stay on the field for 6 years, 5 years.
Mm.
23-25 is the amount of strikeouts he has right now. Only 132 wins. ERA 3.08. If he can get his ERA back down below 3.
Yeah, and I don't know what function wins are going to play anymore. I just, like, it's a new, like, this generation that played in the, that started in the late 2000s or early 2010s. I don't know what the litmus test is going to be for Hall of Fame for any statistical category. 500 home runs is still 500.
Yes.
Like 1,500 RBI is still 1,500. That's usually a good one. 3,000 hits is still 3,000 hits. But for pitchers, I honestly don't know.
I think strikeouts will be up there.
Maybe, but you're only pitching 5 innings a game now.
That
so how can you even register the innings? You know what I mean? Like, how is somebody to get to 3,000 strikeouts, even at a 9 strikeout per, or yeah, 9 per 9, right? Yeah. 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. You're going to need to pitch fucking 333 complete games. Now, most dudes that stay healthy get, what, 500 starts in their career? 550, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know so how you're going to get that many innings.
Kershaw, I'm looking at Kershaw's page right now. He's 35, and, you know, he's had some injury trouble. He has currently started 422 games
okay.
in his career.
So you would need to start 600 games if you had a 9 per 9 and you pitched 5, if your average start was 5 innings.
Right.
You have to pitch 600 games.
Right.
I just don't see that happening that much.
So that's why I think the 3,000 strikeouts is probably become the sort of, like, hovering the benchmark, where if you hover around that, certainly if you cross it, you get it, right? Because then you're definitely striking out more than 9 per 9, which is not an easy feat to accomplish for qualified, you know, over a career or whatever.
It's 5.24 is the average start in Major League Baseball right now.
God.
So let's say even if it's 6, right? Because 6 is above average. And if you look at Sale, if you look at the mode, like the number that shows up most, it's around 6. It's not 7, right?
Yeah.
That's 500 starts.
Okay. That is, that's interesting. I want to see something real quick with Sale here. I mean, so Kershaw, by the way, interestingly, 422 games started, 294 quality starts, which is, I wonder maybe that becomes a thing, right? A quality start ratio, because what the hell else can you do?
Only 50 pitchers in Major League Baseball history have started 500 or more games.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are definitely not Hall of Famers. Probably quite a few of them are not Hall of Famers.
Old Hoss Radbourne?
Definitely a Hall of Famer.
Hold on. Hall of Fame. So Cy Young, Nolan Ryan, Don Sutton, Greg Maddux is up there. 740 starts for Greg Maddux.
Jesus Christ.
Phil Niekro, Steve Carlton. All of those guys are Hall of Famers.
By the way, old Hoss Radbourne pitched most of his career when the strikes and balls are not currently as they are now. In the rule book.
Yeah.
I think it was like five balls. The first called strike was a warning. It didn't count against you. It was just like, hey, buddy.
Better knock that shit off.
Yeah, you should have swung at that one, pal. Yeah.
Then Roger Clemens, he's never getting in unless the Veterans Committee decides at some point to let all those guys in. Tommy John, 700. He had 288 wins. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
Damn.
Feel like they should put him in just for the surgery.
Yeah, no.
Then Gaylord Perry, Pud Galvin. Burt Blylevin was great. Tom Glavin, Walter Johnson, Warren Spahn, Tom Seaver, Jamie Moyer, 638.
I feel like
he should be in the Hall of Fame just for lasting 25 years.
I mean, it's what he did was an athletic like feat.
Yeah.
Like undeniably.
Jim Cott, Frank Tanana, who I think he had like a mid threes ERA. He's never going to get in. But yeah, so Hall of Famers that didn't reach 500 starts. This guy's from the fucking
ancient times.
Ancient. Yeah. I don't even know when it was. Bob Feller, he had 484. Ted Lyons, Red Faber, who was also an early guy. Bob Gibson, John Smoltz. Shit, Tim Hudson had 479 starts. Catfish Hunter had 476. Vic Willis, 470. Here's what I'm saying. To be good enough to start for that long and to pit, because you're only going to average 5.5 innings probably.
Right.
Five and a third. That's what the average is right now.
Certainly.
But even if you're good, if you're really good, you're going to average six. And that requires 500 starts to reach 3,000, which means that only 50 dudes in the history of baseball would qualify for that.
Okay. So 3,000 is probably too high.
It might be. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, fuck, man. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what it's going to look like.
So here's my guess then in terms of future Hall of Famers. It'll be some combination of awards because somebody's got to win the goddamn Cy Young.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
and then just vibes, honestly.
That used to be kind of one of the things, like, did you win a playoff game, like for football especially?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you win a playoff game? Did you win an MVP if you're a quarterback? Does he have an MVP? If a guy had both, if he had won a Super Bowl and an MVP, didn't matter how good he was, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Which the football lets everybody in, but I guess baseball's a little pickier. I don't know.
God, I think he's a borderliner. Man, Kershaw's numbers are just goddamn insane. He's got 75 wins above replacement almost, and he's not pitched this year. He's the same age as Sale, too.
But I'm not sure that Sale is even borderline in this day and age. If he pitches 4 or 5 more years, he's going to get up close to 3,000 Ks. I think he's a fucking first ballot guy. If the voters are looking at the era that he's pitching in, because nobody else is doing this.
Right.
The other guys that are putting up similar numbers strikeout-wise are older. Scherzer's, a year older, so he's close.
Yeah.
And then Verlander and not Scherzer. Scherzer's fucking 40 as well. DeGrom is, but he's never going to put up counting stats enough to make the Hall.
No.
Scherzer and Verlander are both older. Yeah. Kershaw is the generation right before Sale's age. Yeah.
They're both
35. It'll be him and Kershaw. And Kershaw's not going to win 300. He's not going to strike out 3,000, right?
Kershaw's 60 away.
Oh, he's 60 away. Okay.
Yeah. Kershaw's definitely getting 3,000. I'll say this. He has an outside shot at 300 wins, depending on his longevity. He's at 210, and he plays for a franchise that's been stacking wins for his entire career. So if he pulls a Verlander, if he pitches for 10 more years, then I think he's got a shot. But does Kershaw even want to do that?
Yeah, that seems like a miserable 10 years. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's going to stay beyond his ability.
And also, he doesn't need to win 300 games. And at this point, I think it's more impressive that he's pitched in this era and has a career ERA of 2.48.
Yeah.
Like, fuck 300 wins.
Yeah. That
ERA is nuts.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think if Sale gets 3,000 strikeouts, I think we've established that bar is so difficult to reach that he's a Hall of Famer, no question. I think if you reach certain statistical clubs like that, you're automatically in. Sale, good on Anthopoulos, another great signing by him. He's the Cy Young front runner. I think Wheeler is the only one who can really catch him. And it's a tight enough race, at least according to Vegas, that it's up for debate for the entire second half. So we shall see. Next up, big news tonight in the Braves minor leagues. Ian Anderson pitching a rehab assignment in Rome for the Emperors.
What the Emperors.
They're the Emperors.
They changed their name now?
They're not the Rome Braves. They're the Rome Emperors.
He looks pretty good in the minors so far, but we don't really... To be honest, Schwellenbach has looked really good in his last couple, so we're not really hurting for a fifth starter at the moment.
Yeah.
Depth is always good, so we'll see. I think that might be more of a next year thing, to be honest. I also think that he's good trade bait.
Yes.
I don't know what we got for Soroka, if anything, but whatever it was probably worth it because he's got like a 6 ERA
in
Chicago.
Which sucks.
It sucks. But
Ian Anderson's kind of our new Soroka, I would say, in terms of like, what's he going to do? Ian Anderson had one decent year in the full-ish year in the majors. The year he got hurt, he was having a terrible year, but maybe he was hurt and then got more hurt. Who knows? But his postseason stats are goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
35 innings pitched, 1.26 ERA, 10 K per nine. Had a no-hitter through five in the World Series that we won. And he's still only 26 years old. He's only a year older than Bryce Elder, who were like, oh, he's basically a rookie. So, will be interesting to see what happens with Ian Anderson. I think for the short term, best case scenario is he takes some starts in the five hole. I doubt he remains on the major league roster.
I don't think Elder makes his way back up to the majors this year.
He was okay against Arizona, wasn't he? I think he had a good start against them, but I
don't remember, which is not great.
Yeah.
I don't know that he did. But I don't expect to see him back up unless somebody gets injured. I don't think he's five innings and three runs, that's not a quality start. He's had one quality start all season. That was against St. Louis.
Yeah.
And they lost that game. So yeah, I don't see any use in bringing him back up. I would trade him as well.
I don't know what you get for him other than just like, hey, he was an all-star.
Yeah.
Look at him.
I mean, for a team that's any small market team that wants to get a guy that's got fucking innings behind him that played on a major team that you're going to get for fucking 12 or 13 million a year, why wouldn't you take him?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's the type of thing, where you just like somebody needs a starter while they're rebuilding. Like the White Sox, for example. Something like that. Maybe he's part of a Luis Robert package, although everybody's after Luis Robert.
I don't want Luis Robert. I don't want anybody that takes games off because he's fucking bored.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do about the outfield. I'm not sure what the plan is there. Kalenic, I'm happy with. Michael Harris is going to come back soon, probably the last week of July or the first week of August is what I'm hearing from people at the team. So fair enough. That's two out of three. Duvall is just not capable of being a baseball player. No. And I don't think Eddie Rosario is either.
That was just a gap plug-in.
Yeah.
Like a hole plug there.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute, actually. But yeah, I'm interested to see what Anderson does. I hope we see him get a spot start just to kind of take a look.
I would like to see him,
He would also be good trade bait, like you said earlier. Yeah. I think that's an interesting, compelling person. But again, Anderson more than Elder. I'll say this for Elder. Like, he's been bad for about a year now, right, from last All-Star break to this All-Star break. But he was fantastic for the first half of last year.
Yeah.
Maybe that's enough to get someone just interested enough to make that as part of a deal. He won't be the center.
Well, he's a project, which some teams can afford to deal with and some just don't have the time for, and we're in the latter category.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm hoping Anderson does well tonight. Obviously, I would love to see him as a fifth starter in our rotation just to shore things up if he's up to the task. But the more I look at this roster, I don't think that I don't think that the rotation is going to get addressed because I don't think it needs to get addressed at this point.
No, I mean, what are you going to do exactly? Like, I don't know that you're going to, without giving up too much, I don't know how much more you're going to improve on. Definitely not Reynaldo Lopez. He's been great all year.
Now, hopefully he's not a Bryce Elder situation, because last year at the end of the first half, we were like, dude, Elder's crushing it. We've got so much depth in the rotation. Yeah. And then Elder fucking obviously couldn't even finish the year.
Yeah, that we'll see about. I mean, I would like to see Charlie Morton move further and further down the rotation, to be honest. Like, I'm just, I don't, he's good in spurts, but he's 40, right? And it's not a good idea for us to be leaning on a 40-year-old, especially late into the season.
No.
But I don't know. You're not going to improve on Fried or Sale, obviously. I don't think you're going to improve on Lopez. I don't think we would even know by the break if we needed to, mm-hmm. right? He's going to have maybe, what, two, maybe three starts after the All-Star break, before the deadline. So yeah. we won't really know by then, unless he gets seriously injured, I guess. But we don't want that. But I don't know if there's a pitch. Are there pitchers out in the market that are going to be better than Morton or cheaper than Schwellenbach without having to give up people? Like, if we get the chance to get Jack Flaherty and we can give up somebody like Anderson or Elder in a package and right. not give up Schwellenbach for it, I would take that all day, and I would immediately sign him to a 3-year deal, yeah. right? So, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
That is where I think we're kind of at right now is, you know how
it's like looking for the best possible deal, and if it doesn't happen, fuck it, right?
It's like when your team is drafting and you don't know quite what they need, you just take the best available player, whatever that is, because at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is come out on the right side of an equation, right?
Yeah.
More runs scored than allowed. That might mean decreasing runs allowed. That might mean increasing runs scored. Ideally, you would somehow do both. But at the end of the day, all you want to do is widen the gap between runs scored and runs allowed. However you can do that. And I think Anthopoulos is a pragmatic guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's probably what will end up happening. One hole that is not going to be addressed, I think, at this point is, shortstop's getting pretty rough.
Yeah. I keep hearing smoke around Bo Bichette. Because I think that the word on the street is that Toronto wants to break that team up.
Yeah, which they should.
Like, there's smoke about them trading Vlad Jr. to the Yankees or mm-hmm. letting him sign a free agency, because Mike Stanton's contract, they're going to have to cancel that or just pay it and get him off the team yeah. after this year. I don't know what they're going to do. So Vlad would be a perfect person to put it. The way he hits the ball to the opposite field is going to solve a lot of problems for him that he's having in Toronto, to be honest. And if they're going to let Vlad go, they're not going to hang on to Bo as well. Like, just Baltimore Orioles style, get rid of Machado and everybody else like they did, and start all over and use those draft picks wisely. The drafting has gotten quite a bit better in baseball than it used to be.
Yes.
You don't see Todd Van Poppel as much anymore, right? People don't skip over people like Chipper Jones in the draft anymore. It just doesn't happen.
And also, in terms of drafting and development and stuff like that, like, dudes are ready quicker.
Yeah, 100%, especially the guys that they're taking out of their second or third year of college. And there's quite a few relievers out there as well that I wouldn't mind seeing the Braves go after for depth. But, yeah, as far as shortstop goes, Arcia was always going to be a bridge. Now, the question is, how much do the Braves believe in Perdomo, this 17-year-old that they drafted last year at 16 years old in the international draft? And when I say they, I mean baseball people, not the Braves, but everybody in baseball thinks he's going to be the best shortstop that's ever played baseball. That's the smoke around him. But, you know, there's all kinds of people are always talking shit like that.
Yeah.
But they talk about this guy the same way they talked about Adley Rutschman, the same way they talked about Trout and stuff like that. Obviously, different positions, but he plays a premium position. He's a great defender that throws the ball 100 miles per hour across the diamond, and he can hit for power and run.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, that's a shortstop. He's 17. He's 3 years away, probably, right?
You can't start his clock at 17.
No, fuck no. I mean, you would be crazy, because he's going to get one of those fucking billion-dollar contracts, right?
Yeah.
So best case scenario there. And by the way, the international ones, the service time is different even for them, for the minor leagues and stuff. But, I think Bichette would make a lot of sense. Well, he's going to be 20. I think he's 28, 27. Maybe he's going to be 28. That would be a good pickup for them. I'm also hearing
he's 26.
He's 26. Yeah. Okay. So that would be a good pickup for them. I'm also hearing a lot.
Bo Bichette.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been pretty fucking bad this year.
This year, yeah. But he's
almost
got
as bad as Arcia.
Yeah, this year, but he's got a track record of being good before, and I don't mean like one season. He has seasons of being
he's
really
got
good.
3 20 homer seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, 2021 he was insane. 29 homers. 100 RBI, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
He had put up back-to-back 5-win seasons as a young guy.
Yeah.
You're right. He has a pedigree, certainly.
Yeah, and the trade I've heard that makes more sense, or it did make more sense until recently, because with Schwellenbach being successful, was Zach Eflin and Randy Arozarena from Tampa Bay coming mm-hmm. over. There's a lot of smoke around that too. I think a lot of teams are looking at Randy Arozarena just because he's pretty inconsistent hitting, in my opinion.
Yeah,
he's hitting right above the Mendoza line this year. And it's his batting average has decreased every season since his rookie year. That's not a good sign.
No.
But he's got pop. He's really fast. He plays great defense. That's the kind of guy you think you put in a lineup with actual hitters. Like when he's batting eighth in the Braves lineup, he's going to be quite a bit more successful than batting first, second, or third.
Right.
For Tampa Bay. So everybody's giving him a look, but I think the entire league is. I don't know where they're going to go.
I really think it is going to be a best available situation, which I guess you just got to make the outfield work if that's the case, and the best available situation of the pitcher, because the pitching market is the richest by far. There is no, I looked up and down all the rosters.
Yeah.
There is no shortstop market. It's Bo Bichette, and then like no everyone else who sucks and has a good shortstop. They're really young, and I assume they're guys that they want to build on. Like the Nats, I think it was C.J. Abrams is his name.
Yeah, he was part of the fucking Soto trade. They're not giving him up.
Right, and then there's the Rockies have a really good, I think his name is Ezekiel or something like that, his last name.
Yeah.
Ezekiel, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
He's like 22, having a great year.
The Angels have Neto. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's got like a 750 OPS as a 23-year-old, so plays really good defense.
But it's do they want to give him up?
No.
So it's the type of thing.
I wouldn't think so. He's played every game this year, so I doubt they're going to get him.
So the thing is, the shitty teams that have good shortstops, it's young guys under arbitration still, right? So they're not going to fucking get rid of those guys, even if they're as far away as the Rockies. The Nats, I don't think, are that far away.
No, the Nats have a lot of fun. They're where the Orioles were 2 or 3 years ago, so they're inching forward,
for sure. I don't think the Nats will give away anyone that young. No. So again, shortstop market is dog shit.
Yeah,
and at this
it
point,
is, and I don't know if you fucking upset the
clubhouse.
The clubhouse, and I also don't know that even in today's era, you fucking pull a guy that's that great of a defender out of a premium position like that.
So
that, I mean, no matter what you get on offense, it's, I don't know if that would be a good idea.
Arcia has the lowest WRC plus of any hitter in baseball at 55.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's insane. He is his batting average on balls in play is only 254, so he's not putting good wood on the ball either. But like I said, the market sucks. He's rated the 17th best defender in baseball by wins above replacement. Granted, that makes him the 10th best shortstop, but most of your wins above replacement accrued defensively are going to come from shortstops, catchers, and center fielders. So that is what that is. Shortstops especially, right? You get more action at shortstop than anywhere except catcher. So him being the 10th best shortstop to me is whatever. Defensively is whatever. That means he's elite as far as I'm concerned. And he has been. He's been an excellent defender. I think you just got to kind of Ozzie Smith it with him, right? You just got to kind of eat shit and be like, all right, he swings a toothpick, but he plays good defense.
I mean, he's hitting ninth, you know?
Yeah.
It could be worse, I suppose. I mean, I would love to get – last year was nice to get more out of him, but, again, like you said, there's no other options out there. I just don't think any of the teams that are that would be looking to sell would be interested in selling that.
No.
I mean, I don't know, maybe – if the Twins come out of the break and they lose like 4 out of 5 or something like that, because they're getting they have a problem right now. They're 53-40. That's a great record, right?
I think they're easily in the wild card.
Definitely in the wild card now, right? But Houston is on the come up.
Oh,
Houston's on the come up, and the Yankees are struggling right now, but that won't continue. No. The Yankees are a really good baseball team.
As far as I'm concerned, Houston is making the playoffs.
Houston, and I think Baltimore, New York, Cleveland, Seattle, and Houston all make the playoffs. I don't think Minnesota has that great of a chance, frankly, especially if they struggle coming out of the break. Maybe Correa goes up. And to give him a long-term deal, I think everybody's sour on that now because they know that he has these injury problems.
Yeah.
But a 3-year deal while we wait on fucking Perdomo to be ready, could be worse than that, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. I really don't think that the Royals are going to deal Bobby Witt. Like, they have a winning record. They're never going to fucking make the playoffs, but I don't think there's any chance they deal him for anything that wouldn't empty out your entire farm system.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't think they would do it. I mean, who else has a shortstop with a 931 OPS?
So there is one other interesting situation, but I think if you got this guy, you don't do this. But Jazz came up as a shortstop.
Nope.
Yeah. I think if you get Jazz, you just put him in the outfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put him in left field. I mean, right now with and then just looking into next year as well with Kalenic, Acuna, and Harris in the outfield, that might be the best defensive outfield ever.
It's incredible, yeah.
I mean, just with Acuna and Harris, when have you seen two guys that good matched up? Two guys are going to legit play center field.
Although I do think, I read this the other day, I don't think they're going to have a lot of options next year, and they'll just have to do what they have to do. But my assumption is Acuna gets moved to DH as soon as fucking possible.
Yeah, I mean, there's one more year left on that Ozuna deal, I think. So
there's an option that they're going to pick up.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they don't pick up Ozuna's.
It would be dumb not to at this point.
Yeah. So as soon as they can put Acuna at DH, I think they're going to get him off the field.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
I think they're probably also going to tell him, like, hey, stolen bases are neat, but meh.
Yeah.
Just keep the miles low on your legs. We need your bat. We need you hitting dongs. We don't need you stealing bases. But yeah, I think we are at a point in the trade deadline, just looking at the trade market, where shortstop, unaddressable.
Mm-hmm.
Barring something crazy, unaddressable.
I mean, you could get Bo Bichette. I don't think it's going to be that. I don't know if it would be expensive to a degree that they would say no either. I just don't know if you think
anything's the right move for the right price, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know how they compare defensively, I guess.
RC is a bit better from what I recall. Look at the.
I mean, Bichette is having the first bad year of his career.
Yes.
He had three really good years in a row, and he's having a bad year this year. He might be injured or something. Who knows? But
and you know what? Maybe just being in Toronto sucks. Yeah. Really, maybe it's not chill.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely sucks. Everybody in Toronto is having a bad year this year. Vlad is hitting, he's finally back up to 287. He was hitting in the 240s for a while.
But I mean, no, you are right though. Like it's everyone on the Blue Jays is having a pretty shitty year. I think Bichette is rated quite a bit worse defensively, and with as bad as he's hitting this year, I don't know that that's a fix. Yeah. And again, it comes down to if you just really are trying to do the money ball thing, right? Like fucking Jonah Hill talks about in the movie of we need to score this many runs and allow this many runs, right? If that's all you care about doing and you don't care how you get to the gap between scored and allowed, then you just go get what you can fucking get.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And you just try to figure it out. Now, granted, I don't love... And there's some guys, too, where, honestly, maybe pitching is the answer because, like, how much longer can Riley and Olson and Harris when he gets back and fucking Albies even, like, how much longer can they really perform beneath their career averages?
Mm.
Like, you got to think some of them will egress to the mean, right?
Well, I mean, so...
progress to the mean, I should say.
Yeah, Riley in June hit 290 with six home runs in July so far. 351. So he's pretty much turned it around.
Yeah.
Olson, he's still missing. Like he's getting he doesn't look bad at the plate. He's just missing good pitches a lot. He's hitting. It's been up and down. So he had a bad start to the year. Then he hit 270. Then 255. In July, he's hitting 167. Striking out a third of the time again. Strikeout rate's way up again. So who knows with him? He's always been a streaky hitter, though. So
yeah,
I guess we'll see how that one plays out. But yeah, I don't think you can't. Sean Murphy is starting to hit really well too.
Yeah.
And Albies he's been a better situational hitter lately. I'll give him that, but hasn't been performing as I expect.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for one of the quote leaders of the team. Last before we get into our gambling picks. Just a quick one. How do you think Marcell Ozuna will do in the Home Run Derby?
I think he's, I think he'll do really well.
I'm excited to see because he is, for people who don't watch, I mean, this is a Braves podcast, so everybody kind of knows, but like, man, he hits goddamn bombs.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He's strong.
He's a big, strong guy. The field is set now. It's Pete Alonso, Marcell Ozuna, Gunnar Henderson, Adolis Garcia, that's who I'm picking, just before we get ahead of ourselves, the hometown guy.
Yeah.
And it's Adolis Garcia, whose biceps, like, I'm a pretty big dude. He makes me look like a bitch, man. He's just a fucking mountain of a human being. And then Bobby Witt, Teoscar Hernandez, Jose Ramirez, which is kind of weird, but he does hit. He does pretty well. And then Alec Bohm, who has an outside shot as well. I think Alec Bohm could win. He's got the longest odds.
Very much a lumberjack type dude. I think I could see that totally.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's got to be the right pitcher. Like, the ball's got to be in the right part of the zone for him to hit it out.
Yeah.
So if he gets in a groove, we'll see. But I think Marcell will do well. He's a big fucking meathead. Like, he loves to hit home runs, to hit his wife.
It was a while ago, but I recall him hitting pretty well in that stadium in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Great batter's eye there. I mean, they have a fucking, like, that area of the outfield is just, you can see clearly. Not that a batter's eye is the most important thing for a fucking batting practice, but I'm excited to see him. I expect him to advance into the knockout stage. The first is just like a general thing, and then the top, what, like four advance or something like that?
I don't remember what the rules are. We'll have to go back over that. What is it? It's on Monday, right?
Yes, I assume we'll
talk about on sports. We'll do recap, gambling,
for on the sports show on Monday. I'm excited to see him. I like watching Marcell Ozuna just hit the fuck out of the ball. All right, real quick, we got some gambling picks coming up, and where we make those bets, we make them at mybookie.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. So if you put in $1,000, they will give you $1,000. If you put in $100, they'll give you $100. Whatever, they will match it up to $1,000. It's where we make our baseball picks. It's where we make our football picks. I don't know if the show's up already or not, but Casino Friday, me and Delco Dan play the blackjack tables. Every single Friday, they have a live casino with real human beings. It's not like a sketchy arcade situation where it's just a computer that you're playing against and you're like, dude, like, I don't think this is real. I think I'm getting fucked right now. Real human beings dealing you cards. It's super fun. Definitely recommend checking that out if you're bored and need some juice waiting for, to bet on football or something like that. You don't like betting on baseball, but we do like betting on baseball on MyBookie.com. Again, promo code Drinking Bros will double your first deposit up to $1,000. Gambling picks for this weekend, the final series before the All-Star break, some pretty decent ones to bet on. I went with Saturday's games this week because there's a couple pitching matchups I didn't love on Friday. There are series matchups I like, but the Friday games, there's a couple pitchers I didn't like. So Saturday, Dodgers over Tigers. Delco, did you end up betting that today?
Mm-hmm.
Told you not to bet against Tarek Skubal.
I don't care. I'm doing it.
All right. I'm just saying. Whatever. Dude,
fuck him. Every time I bet on him, he loses.
I mean, you know how this is going to go then, right? Like, he's going to win. Dodgers over Tigers on Saturday. Phillies over the A's. Guardians over the Rays. Reds over the Marlins. Brewers over the Nats and the Braves over the Padres on Saturday. I already forgot who the Braves have pitching, but I think it was Lopez, which is good enough for me against the Padres, who are better than I thought they were going to be this year, but I still don't have a ton of respect for them.
No.
Who is pitching for the Braves on that?
The Tigers have lost three of the last five starts with Skubal.
All right.
On Saturday? It's Lopez.
Okay, yeah.
Against Waldron, which is a decent matchup, but Lopez is better.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Those are my picks Saturday. What do you got?
I went Sunday. So first, it's Braves over Padres. That's Chris Sale over Dylan Cease.
Yeah, that's another good matchup.
Yeah, it's a good matchup, but Cease has been...
Yeah, I'll take Sale.
Yeah, whatever. Sure. Next up, Royals over Red Sox. Singer's pitching. Big fan of him. Red Sox have been okay lately. They're 10 games up.
This is actually a big wild card series.
It is, yeah. Yep.
I think the Red Sox are in front of the Royals by two losses, or two less losses.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, so they're a game up, technically. Phillies over A's. The Phillies, Wheeler got pulled from the start, so it's probably going to be like a bullpen game. It's the last game before the break.
Yeah.
But it's still Oakland. And I don't think they can win baseball games. So
Suarez, right?
The pitcher's undecided for Sunday.
It was supposed to be Wheeler, but they pulled him.
Gotcha.
Probably so he can pitch in the All-Star game or something.
Sorry, Suarez is today.
Yeah. Next is Pirates over White Sox. Mitch Keller's going. He's been great all year. White Sox, it says undecided. I don't know if they probably just don't have anybody.
It doesn't pitch. Matter.
Jesus Christ. Astros over Rangers. Rangers are going to be on the road thinking about getting back to Dallas, or Arlington rather, for the All-Star game the next day. And Blanco's going for Houston. He's been great, especially lately. I've got the Cubs over the Cardinals. Mikolas sucks out loud. He's terrible. And I like James Talon's look really good this year. Twins over Giants.
Snell has been terrible.
Yeah, Snell's really bad. I think maybe he gets cut soon, to be honest. The
reigning Cy Young winner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why nobody wanted to sign him, because once again, he doesn't get out of the fifth inning. Right. Even when things go well, he doesn't get out of the sixth inning. Mariners, Angels, taking the Mariners in that. Gilbert's been great all year, and the Angels are fucking terrible. That's it.
Fair enough. That the full list?
Yep.
Fair enough. Yeah. I was almost going to say another pitcher who hasn't been that good this year is Zach Gallen, but he has rebounded quite a bit.
Second half, he's looked really good. Yeah.
Yeah. He was kind of terrible to start the season. But those are our gambling picks. You can get them at mybookie.com. That's where you make your bets, and bet live too. One thing if we don't reinforce this enough, once your parlay is underway, that's the thing about betting baseball parlay. You can just let it rip. You can just do whatever. But if you're kind of serious and you want to make sure you don't, lose your money, you can start hedging after the first couple hit pretty safely. And then, you don't lose much money out of your win if you do win a couple grand if you bet the right amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, check it out. MyBookie.com will come to you Monday on the Monday morning recap with Home Run Derby betting picks and stuff like that. And then it's the All-Star break, and we will, I believe, probably do a second half preview on the show next week. I think the first series of the second half starts on Friday.
I think that's right. Yeah.
So we will come to you with a second half preview for both the Braves and the MLB next Friday. All-Star game, or I'm sorry, Home Run Derby betting odds will be on Monday on the Monday morning recap. Check it all out. Thank you so much for listening. For Dan Holloway, I'm Rob Fox. We'll see you later.